I'd like to take a moment now also to formally welcome our uniform groups. And some of you might notice that there's a few more girls in than normal this morning. It's a real delight to welcome our girl guiding groups, our rainbows, our brownies, and our guides to be with us this morning. They're going to help us in our prayers in a little while. But before that, I want to ask you, maybe you want to close your eyes just for this. I want to ask you to imagine a single day of perfect justice and perfect peace. What would that look like? All the wars that are going on around the world would cease. All the jails and prisons would be empty. It'd be a boring day in Canary Wharf, the banks of Singapore, and on Wall Street. The homeless would be fed and clothed and have a warm bed to sleep in. There'd be no drug overdoses, no drunk driving, no murders, no crime. There'd be no divorces. Broken homes would be made whole again. Police officers and protesters would share pizza and stories together. You'd call up that friend that you had a falling out with a few years ago, and it'd be just like old times once again. Your relationship with everyone in your family and with your co-workers would be perfectly healthy. You might finally even get the chance to do that job that you've always wanted to at school or in work. Everyone would be treated fairly and respectfully. And so it would be all quiet, not just on the Western Front, but everywhere, in every relationship and place. Do you want a day of perfect justice and peace? Now, of course, what I'm aware of is that what I've described is nothing but a pipe dream in our current world. But still, I want to let you know this morning that this has never been the plan for our world. On this day of remembrance that we're here today to commemorate, I want to remind you all that there is a promise that is held in our Bibles of a day that is to come when all disputes will be settled, where there will be no more war anymore, and no one has to be afraid. We're going to have a little look at a passage from the Bible in a moment, but hopefully on the way in, I know our scouts and guides, you haven't had one yet, but your leaders, we're going to pass them around. Hopefully on the way in, you all received a small piece of wire. If you've got it, hold it in the air so I can see that you've got it. I see at least five people have got their wire. That's good. Excellent. I've got some more which I'll bring around, but what I want you to do, I want you to take your wire and I want you to fashion it into a piece of art for me now, okay? And you're going to have about 3 minutes in which to do it. That is it, okay? I want you, out of the wire that you have got, to make the best possible sword that you possibly can from it, okay? So can you fashion your piece of wire into a sword? You have got 3 minutes to do it, okay? In true Taskmaster style, your time starts now. 3 minutes to turn your wire into a sword. All right, okay, hopefully you've all had a chance to make a sword. I wonder, maybe clink it with the person next to you so you're having a little sword fight. There you go. Now, keep hold of your sword, okay? Keep hold of the sword that you've just made, because what we're going to do, I'm going to share with you a few verses from the Bible now that talks about swords. Okay, it's some verses that come from the Old Testament, and it comes from the prophet Micah. They'll appear on the screen for you to follow along with, so don't worry about finding your Bible unless you'd like to. So this is from Micah chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first four verses, verses 1 to 4. Keep hold of your sword as I say these words, and see if you can pick out why I've got you to make a sword this morning. So this is what the Bible says. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge many between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. He will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree. and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken." Now, that passage that we've just heard from Micah is a beautiful vision of the future that God promises. But in the world that we live in times like these, right here, right now, that vision can seem pretty impossible. The author of The War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells, coined the expression, "the war that will end all war," to describe World War I, which had broken out in Europe in September 1914. There was a real belief that the bloodshed of that war would never be repeated, and that the new world order that was to come would make future conflicts impossible. Of course, we now know that the hope that was carried by so many in 1919 as they first celebrated Armistice Day on the 11th of November, just as we are doing here this morning as well, that the Great War would be the last of its kind, has proved to be false. Not only the Second World War, only 2 decades after the first, but then also the many conflicts across our world that have taken place in the many years since it ended, and which continue today, have shown that the belief that peace had finally been achieved proved to be a falsely optimistic hope. The writer of our Bible reading this morning, the prophet Micah, also lived in a time when a state of warfare was all too real. For him and the whole people of Judah, which is the southern part of the nation of Israel. The words that we've just heard were written when the Assyrian Empire was at the very height of its military power, brutally sweeping all before it, destroying cities, villages, and livelihoods, butchering communities, plundering their possessions, and leading all who got in their way to be prisoners of war. This was the fear with which the people to whom Micah was writing lived in every single day. Now, I'm sure that we are all here profoundly aware and feel very fortunate in the UK that we no longer have to live with the immediate threat of warfare hanging over us here, both as Micah did and as happened during both world wars. However, you only have to turn on your TV or open your phone to a news website to realise that around the world there are still many, many places where peace doesn't exist. And that's just thinking of the bigger picture. I don't know what you're fearful of this morning. I don't know every situation that you find yourself in where you might need to find peace today. But I want to encourage you to hold on to the words of Micah as you continue to battle whatever you're facing. Because you see, this vision that Micah has, even in the face of fear and chaos, is not just about a world that without conflict, but it goes to a much deeper place, to a soul-level peace that God promises to bring. He describes a time when nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Instead, the tools of war, swords, spears, will be transformed into tools of growth and nourishment, plowshares and pruning hooks. It's a beautiful image. It's a powerful image. And it's one that reminds us that God's peace doesn't just remove conflict. It can reshape our world entirely. It's a peace that restores what is broken. It makes the soil fertile rather than stained by violence. For Micah's audience, the people that read those words that he said thousands of years ago, in the middle of war and destruction and fear, this was a radical promise of hope. But for each of us here this morning as well, it can speak deeply into our lives too. Even if we're not under the direct threat of war, many of us face struggles that can feel very overwhelming. Maybe it's the uncertainty of our own future, or the worries that we carry in our families about our work, or perhaps even our health. Maybe it's the burden of feeling out of control in a world that seems so chaotic. But here's what Micah's prophecy tells us, that God's promise is to replace our fears with his peace and to turn our worries into fertile grounds for faith and new life. So then with that said, what can we do whilst we wait for this peace to come? Well, as Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel, we can be peacemakers. We can share We can be kind. We can help those around us, and we can trust that God is with us in everything that we do. We should speak out against injustice. We should protest against evil, and we should speak truth in all circumstances, because when we do these things, when we choose to step out, when we choose to help others, when we choose to forgive those who wrong us, we bring a little bit of God's peace into our world. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then I want to encourage you this morning to go a little bit further. Ground your desires to be a peacemaker in prayer. Make that connection with the Lord this morning. Lean not on your own wisdom or your strength, but on that which comes from the example of Christ and the power of his Spirit that works in us. Because the sad reality is this, that we can do very little to bring an end to the wars that are going on in the world around us. Micah knew that there was very little that he could do in his own power to bring about change in the circumstances that he found himself in. But we know a God who can do the impossible. He's done it before, and he will do it again. One day, God will make everything new, just like he promised through Micah. Now, as we go from here into a time of remembrance this morning, I think that it is only appropriate for us to do something about those swords that we made earlier. Just as Micah prophesied that one day they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, I think that we should do that right now before we take our 2 minutes of remembrance today. So I want to encourage you to take your sword again in your hand, and I want to ask you to transform what you have made into something beautiful. Take this symbol of violence and turn it into something that changes its meaning to being something that is useful, to be something that is good and pure. You might choose to make a poppy, you may choose to make a plowshare, as it talks about in our passage from today. Or maybe you want to make something that reminds you of peace itself. Now, I'm not expecting a work of art here, but I do want to encourage you, take a couple of minutes now to transform your sword into something that is beautiful, and then when we've done that, I'll call us back together for a prayer before we enter into our act of remembrance this morning. So you've got about 2.5 minutes. I'm aware of time this morning. We'll make sure we stop at 11. You've got about 2.5 minutes to transform your sword into something beautiful. Off you go. Okay. I'm sorry that was so short. Like I said, I'm aware of time. I have got my phone up here with a clock on it to make sure that I don't go over time. I wonder what you've made. I've made a very bad image of a poppy, but I think it's okay. I'm just going to quickly check what guys have made on the stage. So, Jez, what have you made?
Plowshare.
He's made a plowshare. You can come and ask him what a plowshare is afterwards. But he has made one. So there we go. James, if you want that for the farm, you can take that with you. Claire, what have you made?
A tree.
Claire's made a beautiful tree, and I'll come over to Sarah, because I know you've made the same as Stephen, which is
a heart.
Sarah's made a heart. I don't know what it is that you've made yourself, but hopefully you've been able to turn that sword into something beautiful. Let's pray together before we commence with our act of remembrance. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your promise of peace and for the hope that you give us in difficult times. I pray that you'd help us to be peacemakers in our world, to show kindness and love to everyone we meet, and to trust in your care for each of us. Let Micah's vision remind us of the peace that you are bringing, and give us strength to share that peace with others every day. We thank you for your love that is always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.